And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to be looking at Secrets, Volume 215. Volume 215. I suppose that some of you, at least a few of you, may have all 214 volumes. I mean, you have to be very faithful and loyal to have that. But in any case, this is 215, and I trust you will get a blessing from today's revelations. Let's just call them disclosures, revelations, secrets. You know, maybe once or twice in a lifetime, an event occurs or something happens, and a man, if he's a real man, or a woman, if she has the heart of God, has to take a stand. Not only do they have to take a stand, but their entire being is taken over with the compulsion, the necessity to take a stand. Now, today, I felt that necessity, that calling by God to talk to you about something. But I'm not going to talk about it today, but I want to tell you that it's coming up in 2 weeks, not this week, not next week, but the week after. I want to make sure my heart's in the right place. I want to make sure that my facts are all correct and are corroborated. 2 weeks from today, I'm going to have a special edition of Power of Prophecy. It'll be here on the internet all that week. And of course, it'll be on shortwave radio over the weekend and 2 weeks from today. And naturally, you can order a CD or audio tape of the message. I want to talk to you about terror, murder, torture, and rape in your name and in my name. Terror, murder, torture, and rape in your name and my name. These horrible crimes have been perpetrated at the highest levels by our government. I don't want to make any mincing of words. I don't want to try to dodge or defend anybody. I just want to tell you the truth. You know, we had some visitors over our house recently, and a little girl, she must be about 6 years old, maybe five. And there's a picture in the newspaper of war. It was the war in Israel. And she came to me, and we were talking, the grown-ups. She said to me, "What's happening here in the newspaper?" Very bright little girl. I said, "Well, they're having a war in the Middle East between Israel and Palestine." She says, "Why are they blowing up those houses?" And you know, how could she understand? How could she understand? And I was at a loss for words, and before I could say anything, she looked at the picture, and she said in broken English, she usually is very, very literate for a little six-year-old. She said, "There be monsters. There be monsters." And I gasped. I lost my train of thought. There be monsters. I'm not sure the little girl realized that there were people, some people, men, women, children in those homes, in those buildings. They were being blown apart by Israeli tanks and missiles and so forth. But she knew monsters were doing such things. She had evidently maybe seen TV. I don't know. I've seen TV movies like War of the Worlds and all those things where the monsters come in and the rockets go off and buildings, you know, crumble and cars fly in the air. People are running in terror. And then the monsters come in. But she correctly identified something that most people in America cannot do. They're blind. They're led by the forces of Satan. A demonic oppression has overtaken this nation. But this little six-year-old innocent child said, "There be monsters." Now, since 9/11, 13 years ago or so, monsters have taken over American government. Monsters. Horrible monsters. They've brought us terror, murder, torture, and rape in your name, in my name. They're doing it with our tax dollars. I've talked about this in the past, but I must confess, I have really let you down. I have let you down because I have never really caused you to understand what my ministry is all about. Some say I hate the Jews. Some say I hate New Agers. Some say I don't hate anybody. I just love Jesus. I love his people. And I want so much for people to do what's right. I don't hate Jews. I want them to be my friends. I want them to be your friends. I want them to do what's right. I don't want them to be murderers, terrorists, torturers, rapists. And I certainly don't want to do it in your name and my name. Now, I'm not going to talk about Israel very much in 2 weeks from now, but I'm going to talk about those subjects. And I pray you'll understand me. You'll understand my heart, why I do it. Because Bush and Cheney and all of their friends, and really it started even during Clinton, the Clinton era, it continues on into the Obama era. This is not a political partisan matter. But we have set up a global gulag. A global gulag. We have had the audacity, the horrible behavior of setting up a global system of prisons. And we carried it out with extraordinary renditions, they called it. You invent these names, these euphemisms. And we passed laws, the Patriot Act, the Second Patriot Act, the NDA, all these laws that allowed our government to pick up, to abduct and kill U.S. citizens and certainly foreign citizens anywhere in the world for being suspected, not proven. And no judge has to approve this. They can pick you up tonight while you're listening to this program and take you away on a jet aircraft to someplace 10,000 miles away. And there they can torture you to death. And no one will ever hear your name ever again. We have done these things. Now the CIA is issuing a report. It was upwards of 15,000 or 20,000 words, but Senator Dianne Feinstein, the chairperson of the Senate Intelligence Committee, has worked with the CIA to prune it. You see, she's in jeopardy too. They're going to come out. Now, I don't know why they're going to come out with this report. Maybe whistleblowers were going to come out with a bigger report. Maybe whistleblowers are fixing to blow the whistle on this thing. But what you're going to find out is that presidents, vice presidents, secretaries of this and that, and this government bureaucrat and that government bureaucrat, and General so-and-so and Colonel so-and-so are guilty of murder, rape, torture, terror. And it has not done one bit of good. They have not fostered any help. There's been no way they have successfully won the war. The wars we've been involved in for some 13 years in the Middle East are all for nothing. Tell me that we went into Iraq for a good cause. We went in for a lie. And we brought terror. 1 million lives lost. But you say, well, those were just Iraqi people. Most of them were Muslims. Shut up. I'm not going to hear that. Whosoever will may come. Those were human beings. I want to tell you something, dear friends. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to bring compassion, love, and justice to this world. Not to bring death and destruction and torture to women, to men, to children. Yes, to children. We rape children. We did horrible things. We beat people to death. Horrible pedophiles were put in charge. Monstrous, monstrous people. George W. Bush is one of the worst. And Dick Cheney. They all need to go to prison. They must go to prison. There must be trials of these monsters. If there are not trials of these monsters, may God forgive us. May God forgive us. Now, this Senate report, this CIA report being released by the Senate, first they're going to redact, as they call it, take out most of the information in it. But they're going to admit, as Obama had a press conference this week, and he says, we did torture. Let me repeat that. We did torture. You've heard Bill O'Reilly say, we don't torture. You've heard George Bush say, we don't torture. You've heard Dick Cheney said, we don't torture. It's more than waterboarding. It's rape. It's horrible torture. It's murder. We've murdered, 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 murdered. The CIA secret report is going to be released, some 3,000 pages. Obama's already said it will include many instances of torture, real torture, not just waterboarding, which is torture. It will also reveal that none of the so-called torture ever did one bit of good. We did not find out anything. So why did we torture? For the hell of it. I'm not using a curse word there at all. I'm talking about for the hell of it. Was it against the law? Yes, I will prove to you that it is against the law. It is against international law. It is against American law. And American law calls for everyone involved in it. If you knew of it, if you planned it, if you carried it out, if you oversaw it, if you did it, you are guilty. Guilty. This is way beyond Nuremberg. Way beyond the Holocaust. And America did it. And you're going to find out in coming weeks about this. But in 2 weeks, I'm going to give you a special report on this. I'm going to have facts. But I want you to know one thing, that George Bush and Dick Cheney sat in the White House and watched people being tortured and raped by closed-circuit television at the time it was happening. Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler had nothing on these men. They're monsters. This weekend I was on television, I was flipping channels, and there was a baseball game on. They were beginning to start it. I don't even know. I think it was the Dallas or Houston team or something. And there was George W. Bush out there. I don't know if he's going to throw the first ball or whatever. George W. Bush. How can people allow that? The people of those stands should have erupted in the booze, and they should have mobbed the field, and they should have taken George W. Bush and torn him from limb to limb. If they were right-thinking creatures, they would have done that. Well, maybe that's not what they should have done. Then I suppose we become just like they do. No, I take it back. But they should have taken him prisoner. And they should have demanded that he be put into a cell, that he be given a grand jury and a jury trial. And if found guilty, and I assure you he would be found guilty, he'd be hung by the neck until dead. No, we don't want to become terrorists, murderers, torturers, rapists. It's already done in our name, and it makes me sick. Obama said, well, we're not going to do this anymore. Yes, we did torture. It's true. The CIA is now going to release these facts. He's basically saying we've been lying to you, propagandizing you, lying to you all these years. Now we're going to come clean, partly. After we've whitewashed the report, we're not going to tell you everything we did. We're going to tell you a little bit of it. Well, the little bit that we're going to tell you is going to make you sick, disgusted. But after all, we did it for good. We thought we were trying to find the terrorists that had done 9/11. It was all for good. That's why they did it. They did it because they have the hearts of demons. That's why they did it. And Obama has continued it. He knows he can't get away with it. He's got to stop it sometime. But I want to tell you something. If this terror, if this horror, if this is not paid for, if these people don't go to jail, and I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds, if we don't have prosecution of these monsters, trials, judgment, if we don't have that, then all is lost. America is gone. If they get away with this, they'll be at your front door very soon. They'll take you and your wife, your children, and they'll torture and they'll murder you too. Listen to me, friends. I'm getting old. But I'm here to tell you, you will lose your life. And all of America will be lost. There be monsters. We must identify them. We must discover the depths of horror of their crimes. We cannot let this pass with people being angry for a few days and then it all cooling off and going away. We must do something. 2 weeks from today, we're going to have this torture report. Obama has already admitted it's true. Senator Feinstein said, yes, it's true. We did these things. We're going to find out what they did. We're going to name them. And I expect you, yes, I expect you not to just listen to me, but to go forth and demand that punishment be handed out to these monsters. There be monsters, and we're not going to tolerate it. We're not going to stand for this. This is America. We're going to take our country back. We may be a minority now. You and I probably are minorities as Christians, as patriots, as people who respect our founding fathers. You may be a minority. Most people are just after their personal pursuits. They're after partying. They're after drinking. They're after smoking marijuana. That's not you and me, friends. Let them go off on their yachts, on their boats. Let them do whatever they want to do. But you and I are going to do what's right for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to expose this. Okay. Today's secrets. I'm sorry I took so long on that. But it's a monstrosity. Well, you know, America lies all the time to us. My friend Pat Shannon did a book entitled Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie. That's the title of his book. Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie. Everything? Well, just about. You know, I have an article here. Every once in a while I pull it down and I read it again. It's from May 29th, 1998, USA Today newspaper. It's an article by Al Newhart, the founder of USA Today. He talks about how in Moscow, 20 years ago, that's about 1979, on his first visit to Moscow, he went with a small group of U.S. newspaper publishers. Leonid Brezhnev was the president, or maybe the dictator, whatever you want to call him, during that time. Well, in 1998, he went back. Things had changed. He said, 20 years ago, when we visited Pravda, that's the name of a major newspaper, you know, over in Russia. Now, what does Pravda mean? It means truth. But they never had much truth in there. It was a bunch of lies. He said, 20 years ago, when we visited Pravda, the mouthpiece of the Communist Party and of the government, the editors there proudly pointed out these words chiseled into the newsroom wall. Now imagine, they were proud of these words chiseled in stone on the newsroom wall at Pravda, their number one newspaper in Moscow. Now listen to the words. These are the words of Vladimir Lenin from 1920. He asked, why should freedom of speech and freedom of the press be allowed? Why should a government which is doing what it believes right allow itself to be criticized? It would not allow opposition by lethal weapons, and ideas are more fatal than guns. Vladimir Lenin. Why should freedom of speech and freedom of the press be allowed? Why should a government which is doing what it believes right allow itself to be criticized? It would not allow opposition by lethal weapons, and ideas are more fatal than guns. Think about that. This could be put on the wall of the New York Times and the Washington Post and every other filthy rag newspaper in America today. They don't believe in freedom of speech. They don't believe in freedom of the press. They believe in propaganda and leading you along on a string. Somebody asked me recently, Tex, why haven't you made it big in the press world? Why, I would think you'd have a show that would be twice as popular as Rush Limbaugh, and my goodness, you know, all these things you reveal and so forth. I mean, and you know, you're brave, you say all these things. Why aren't you at the top? Well, why wasn't Jesus at the top? Why didn't they all recognize who he was? Why did they have to kill him? Why are the Jews still proud today that they murdered Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not going to compare myself with Jesus Christ. I'm not worthy of even bowing prostrate at his feet. But the principle is still there. It's because when I started out big. I had number one best-selling books. But I refused to lie. I refused to give propaganda out. I did believe in freedom of speech, freedom of the press. And you have to pay the price for that. There's consequences. Every decision that I made, I did not make dumbly. I didn't go out and get drunk and say, oh, no, I didn't do that. I didn't get angry. I simply did what I had to do. And I'm proud of where I'm at. I'm proud you're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'm proud that we can tell the truth. We have a little bit, we have the vestiges, something that is left in our country. Oh, I'm not saying they're not going to take me away. I'm not saying, you know, I've suffered some. I've been audited by the IRS for 4 years, my organization, my personal life. I've been visited by the FBI numerous times. And who knows how many times by these Jewish organizations sent their agents in to spy. But they found they all wasted their time. All they have to do is listen to this radio program, Read my writings. Read my books. Get my videos. I do nothing hidden. I do nothing in secret. I don't say anything to somebody else that I wouldn't say to you, friend. Well, here's something for you. It seems that Governor Rick Perry, who is a big Jewish clone, in other words, he kisses up to the Jews big time, is doing better on his presidential ambitions. You know, he's gaining a lot of publicity, looking good at the press. Now they're beginning to promote him a little bit. You know, he messed up. Remember the oops comment in the last presidential campaign? But he's doing better now. Rick Perry, and you know, he invited all the rabbis here in Texas, the big ones, to come to his office. And he actually danced with them, the Hatikvah. He did the Hatikvah dance in his office. I have a video of it, dancing around with these rabbis. Well, they never invited me to the dance, folks. I don't know why. I guess I'm just not a dancer. Well, the Board of Regents, the chairman of the Board of Regents, Governor Perry, has a big say in who sits on that, behind that desk. And he runs all of the state universities here in the state of Texas. And it's a big thing. Can you imagine the University of Texas at Austin, Texas A&M University, and about 20 more universities? And Governor Perry evidently was given this name by the Illuminati elite. They said, we want this person to receive a top flight position. His name, Admiral William McRaven. Admiral, a Navy Admiral, William McRaven. He is now going to become Chancellor of the University of Texas at Austin. He spent 37 years in the U.S. Navy and is retired. He was Director of Strategic Planning for Terrorism. He was head of the Special Warfare Operations Command. And he was one of the biggest liars in the American military. And I believe a grand jury should look into Admiral McRaven, because he was the leader of SEAL Team 6 that allegedly killed Osama bin Laden. He was the guy who lied about it, who covered it all up, and now he's getting rewarded by Governor Perry. Admiral William McRaven. He's never been an academic, he's never been at a university except to attend. He used to be on the National Security Council staff. He oversaw SEAL Team 6 and supposedly killing the man who was already dead, Osama bin Laden. Of course, we never saw the body because it was not Osama bin Laden. That allowed the U.S. government to say, we did it. We got Osama. Admiral William McRaven, remember the name if you're from the state of Texas. And remember the fact that after SEAL Team 6 had done this, before they could get back to the United States and reveal what they had done, they all died. SEAL Team 6 died in a helicopter accident. Well, it wasn't an accident. It was shot down by the Afghani terrorists. Or were they freedom fighters? Who knows? They shot down the members of SEAL Team 6 who were riding on a Chinook helicopter. They could never tell their story. They never made it back to the United States. SEAL Team 6. But they went down in history. Propaganda, and Admiral William McRaven is now Chancellor of the University of Texas. Thank you, Governor Perry. Now you'll probably be favored to be President of the United States. Well, we got a lot of secrets for you on the other side. We're going to be right back. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? Hello, friends. Tex Mars again here. You know, every year about this time, we have a month in which, well, we call it Employee Appreciation Month. Employee Appreciation Month. Now, we have a number of employees here, but, you know, Jerry's my broadcast engineer. I don't know if you're really an employee. You're on the staff. I'm on the staff, too. I'll tell you, I have a little different idea of things. I think these people are associates. They're friends. You know, I love it because I don't really tell people what to do. These folks know their job, and they love it. And they know many people who call in, too. They recognize your voice. Sometimes they don't say your name, but they recognize your voice. And I've never heard them saying anything bad about anyone who calls in. And sometimes they take so long on the phone calls that I'm thinking, goodness gracious. Boy, they need to hang up the phone. Or, you know, you only got so much time in the world. But then I find out later that there was some reason. There was something, I don't know, maybe they just felt a need there. You see, the staff here at Power of Prophecy do love you and care about you. And we're a team. You're a part of this team, too. Now, every year, we ask for an offering for them. They don't get paid what they should. They really don't. They deserve so much more. And everybody here has worked. Jerry, everybody's worked here. How long have you worked here now? 15 years? I think Sandra and Michelle have worked here over 20. And so has back in the back... And Chip Rosario and Nelson, he's worked here. I think he's been 11 years, hasn't he? Now, Rosario, we've known her forever. See, she's a family friend. She's worked about 20. And, you know, we've gone through some tough times here in this ministry, and they stick with us. And they still keep their sense of humor. And you know, they don't come in here griping and moaning and, you know, they come in here with a fresh smile on their face. And sometimes they just praise God for things that happen in their life. Today was a day like that. Jerry's dad is in the hospital and we've been praying for him. And please do pray for Jerry's father. But the hospital told his dad that he had MRSA, this virus. It's a real bad virus. Man, I'm telling you, not many people get it. And Jerry had to go down and his whole family and had to take a test to see if they had it too. And if they were positive for it, had the antibodies in there or whatever. And then we were all going to have to take the test. I don't know whether we're going to shut down the ministry or all just become, you know, sick or whatever. But came back today and said, no, you don't have the disease. You don't have the virus, Jerry. Told his mom and his brothers, you don't have the virus. Then they told his dad, you don't have it either. They had made a mistake in the first place. He doesn't have the MRSA virus. That's a praise item, isn't it? Now, folks, when something happens good to you like that, please write to me and tell me. Tell me, Tex, I prayed for this or that, and it God gave me my desires. You know, God does that. Now, if bad things happens in your life, don't blame God. I mean, we're all going to have to die. My precious sister a few months ago passed away. And I know she's in Jesus' arms today. I miss her terribly. But that's God's design. That's his plan for us. So when you get sick, when you lose a loved one, or you lose a job, whatever it is, thank God anyway. Just thank God anyway. Remember the story of Job? The devil was allowed to grip Job's life for just a short time. When you're down in that valley, friends, look up. God, Jesus is there. He's up in the mountaintop. He's calling to you. Don't give up. Don't say, well, I'm down here and, you know, I remember talking to a gentleman on the phone. He wrote a book about the moon shot, the Apollo mission. He said it was faked. This guy, he was a wonderful man. But one day he said to me, you know, Tex, I really appreciate your ministry, but I'm not a Christian. I says, well, God can take care of that. He said, well, you know, I prayed before and God never did anything for me. I feel like God let me down. I said, no, he didn't let you down. Yes, he let me down. God just, he doesn't love me. God hates me. He was serious. God hates me, he said. I said, no. Look, no, dear friend, God doesn't hate you. Yes, he said, everything turns out bad. Everything I pray for, it all goes south. He said, I don't know why, but I've prayed to God. I've asked him for help, but he never helps me. I really am convinced he hates me. I tried to talk to that man. I said, listen, God doesn't hate you. God doesn't hate you. He said, well, why doesn't he listen to me? I said, well, you got to go to him with your heart. You've got to mean it, and you've got to. He says, well, he just hates me. I've always known God hated me. You can't approach Jesus that way. You can't say, God, you hate me, don't you? Now, you can say, it seems like you hate me, but surely you don't. Please show me that you love me. Then one day I came to work. And that gentleman, I was given the news, he had killed himself. He killed himself. It had been about 6 months before they told me God hated him. And my heart ached inside. I knew that God didn't hate him. But he gave up hope. If you have no hope, friends, then you're a miserable person. You must have hope. You must believe. Job believed. They came to Job, his friends, and said, boy, you must have done something terribly wrong. Look at all the bad things that have happened to you. You've lost family members to death. Now you've got all these boils, sores all over your body. You're a beggar on the street. You were once a rich man. God has punished you, hasn't he? Confess your sins, they told him. Now, Job was an honorable man. He was a righteous man. He had not sinned at all. Well, I guess the little sins that we all do. He was the most righteous of all. They said, why don't you just curse God? His friends told him, God hadn't helped you at all. Just curse God. Go ahead. And Job said, though God kill me, though he slay me, I will not curse him. He continued to pray, continued to worship. Job did not know that God had told the devil that he could have Job's life for a short period, but he couldn't kill him. He could do everything but kill him. He told Satan, have you considered my servant, Job? And Satan said, Job, you put a hedge of protection around him. You take that hedge away and I'll get him. You wait and see. He'll be cursing you before I'm done with him. And God said, I'm going to give you Job for a little while. You can't kill him. Do anything else to him, but you cannot kill him. You will see. And boy, the devil went to work on Job. He brought that man down. You've never seen horror like he brought Job. Till he was a pitiful beggar with sores, boils all over his body, crying out to the Lord. Even his friends deserted him. They said, you've done something wrong. You've done terrible things in your life. You deserve this, didn't you? Confess. Job says, go away from me. You're not really my friends. Go get out of my sight. Job knew that only God was his friend. That's all he had. And he continued to serve God. He was a servant of the Most High. Well, read it for yourself in the book of Job. Read what happened. Job was restored. The devil was defeated. Sometimes you ask, why did God let the devil have Job for that short while? Why did he let that happen? Well, for one thing, so you and I can read it today. How many thousands upon thousands have read the book of Job? How many people has that given hope? How many people have been inspired by that story of Job? Don't say God hates me. God, he doesn't hate you. Thank God for loving you. Just thank him. Thank him. You don't have much food today? Well, say, Lord, thank you for what I've got. I pray that you'll give me more tomorrow. He may not. That'd be 3 or 4 days. And if, but he will. He will. Okay. Now, our employees here, they do need your help. What we do is we have a funds campaign. When we ask you to give to our folks. And well, that's it, I guess. That's my commercial for today, Jerry. If you can afford it, if you have money that left over, I don't know, it can be a dollar, it can be $1,000, that you feel led by Jesus Christ to give to this ministry, I promise you, you send it and send it. This is for the workers. This is for the employees. This is for your staff. You have to designate it, or we'll put it in the general fund, and they'll get a little bit of it. Of course, they will. You know, we give them a salary. They don't have medical plan. They don't have Medicaid. They don't have, you know, Obamacare. They don't have all this stuff. They don't have a retirement pay. They don't have benefits. We don't give them a private phone. They don't have an automobile to drive around. They don't have some kind of expense account. But, Jerry, if you want a hamburger, I'll give you $5. You buy a hamburger today. I guess that's your expense account, right? We don't have those things here. But we do depend on you. And every cent you send, we put into a fund, an employees fund. And then in about 2 months, we're going to open up that fund and say, okay, here's how much we got from the folks. We're going to have your name. Everyone who gives, unless you don't want your name on it, we'll put your name down. Sally gave $12. Bill gave $100. Jack gave $1,000. Tim gave $2. Whatever you give, we'll put it down on that list. We'll tally it all up. And then we divide it out equally. The janitor, gets the same as the shipping manager, and he gets the same as the business manager, or she gets it. Everyone will be benefited by the employee fund. And we've done this for about 3 years, and it's worked out great. And, you know, it gives a closeness, because we know that you're part of our team. You're with us. Now, nobody does what we do here. Nobody is doing what we do in Power of Prophecy. Look around you. We believe in Jesus. We believe in patriotism. We believe in doing what's right. And please help us help our employees. Please give to the employees fund. Now, we need help otherwise, too. We need you to keep giving. We've been around now for what? Jerry, how many years has it been? 28 years or something like that. 28 years we've been in business, working for God. We work for God. He's our boss. And you're our boss too, believe it or not. Every person who writes to me and says, I have this idea, or I think this, or text, you should do this, or whatever you say, I listen to you. Now, I don't always go and do it, but if it's something good, I'll do it. I'm not above criticism. I can be criticized. I think I often am, in fact, criticized. Okay. Give to the employees fund. The employees fund. Or just to our workers, to our staff. But please, it's designated. In other words, say, Tex, here's $50 for the ministry, but 30 of it goes to the employees. Then we'll put that $30 down on the account. We keep it separate, and then we divvy it all up, and it goes individually to them. Now, don't think they're going to get, a big amount each. They have nothing, but it's like a bonus. It helps out greatly. It helps out. And it means so much to every one of our employees to know that you gave to this. All you have to do is phone us toll free 1-800-234-9673. Now you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, or textmars.com, or you can write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Okay, now let's keep going here. Let's return to our regular program to the... Hey, did you hear about the Pope? He met with Israeli President Shimon Peres and Orthodox Patriarch Bartholomew and Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas. They all met together in the Vatican. They prayed together. Here's a headline from the Chicago Tribune newspaper. It says, Mideast leaders visit Pope for peace prayer. Wow. Now, right after this peace prayer, these leaders from Israel, Palestine, the Orthodox patriarch, that's the head of their church, they all met together and prayed. Well, hell broke out on earth. All these wars in the Ukraine, the Muslim army, ISIS came across, took about a third of Iraq, and Israel invaded Palestine. They'd been planning it for many, many months. They do this every two or three years just to plague and terrorize the Palestinians. It looks like the Pope brought hell, brought war, and not peace. But I was thinking about this, folks. You tell me what you suspect. Who were they praying to? Now, the Pope supposedly prayed to God. But, you know, who did the Israeli leader pray to? He prayed to the Kabbalistic Judaic God. That's not God. Well, they don't even believe in Moses. Jesus said, if you believed Moses, you'd believe in me. They don't even believe in Moses. Harold Rosenthal, a prominent Jew, a member of a congressional staff, stated back in the 70s, when asked who they worship, he said, well, actually, we worship Lucifer. He told the truth. We worship Lucifer. And I suspect Shimon Peres was actually worshiping Lucifer. But how about the Palestinian leader, Mahmoud Abbas? Who does he worship? It can't be God. He worships Allah and Muhammad the prophet. Jesus is just another man. Oh, he's honored as a wonderful man and all that by the Muslims. How can you pray with people that don't even worship your God? Well, not only that, but the Pope went on. He's really looking for religious unity, isn't he? Bringing all the world's religions together, trying to bring the Christian religion together too. He actually invited the dregs of Christianity, the televangelists who steal money from little old ladies. He invited them to the Vatican, to the cathedral there. Kenneth Copeland, James Robison. My goodness. Kenneth Copeland, who believes, you know, you give to his cause and God will reward you money, money, money. And James Robison. And the Pope? Well, the Pope sort of degraded himself, didn't he? Well, how about Pope John Paul II? Here's an item for you. Did you know that his blood, that's right, before he died, they took little vials of his blood. And why would they do that? Well, they worship it. The Catholics, many of them worship the blood of Pope John Paul II. It actually has gone on tour. The blood of Pope John Paul II, they had planned stops in Boston, New York, Philadelphia. A vial containing the blood of Pope John Paul II, now he's Saint John Paul II, went on tour. Started with a visit to Boston's Cathedral of the Holy Cross and went on. Man. Hey, we go from the Catholic Church to the Presbyterian Church. They made a landmark decision on gay marriage. Now their pastors can be lesbians or homosexuals and marry each other. Hey, I like this. You know, I don't often agree with Governor Mike Huckabee, but here's something he said that's interesting. He said, if we want to keep our nation's secrets a secret, then we need to store them where Obama stores his college transcripts and his birth certificate. If we do that, they'll remain secrets, won't they? Well, a good thought there. Well, an Israeli lawmaker tells us exactly what he thinks of the New Testament. He calls it garbage. His name, Michael Ben Ari, Aribben-Ari. Michael Ben Ari. He was sent a copy by missionaries, a copy of the New Testament. Well, he should have read it, but instead, he called a press conference and he ripped out the pages of the New Testament. Happened in the Israeli parliament, the Knesset. He's a member of parliament, you see. Now, the New Testament had been sent to all 120 Israeli legislators by missionaries. Now, Ben Ari made him mad, made him angry. He said, quote, this is a provocation by church missionaries. And that there is no doubt that this book and those who sent it belong in the garbage can of history. Now, another member of parliament, Zippy Hotivli of the Likud party, announced that the chairman of the Knesset will prevent the spread of Christian missionary literature to the Knesset's members in the future. Quote, he said, it is forbidden to deliver to the Knesset missionary materials. And he called for all members of the Knesset to throw the New Testament in the trash. Well, Jesus lives, doesn't he? Jesus lives. Meanwhile, at the Deir Rafat Catholic Monastery, the Talmudic mentality in action, my good friend Michael Hoffman called it, Israelis vandalized. We're always reading about people doing the swastika and all this and vandalizing Jewish cemeteries and synagogues. But the Jews do it all the time in Israel. And Michael Hoffman points out that they vandalized a Catholic monastery. They spray painted in Hebrew on a wall, quote, Jesus is a monkey, Mary is a cow. Happened March 31, 2014. The vandals slashed automobile tires and defaced the walls of the church. The church is in Beit Shemesh, 19 miles west of Jerusalem. Boy, that's amazing, isn't it? Jesus is a monkey. Well, God has exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every name. And the Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So listen to me, Jewish liar, Jewish members of parliament. You're not going to get what you seek for. Because we're told to pray in his name, Jesus. And you people who deface this wall, you call Jesus a monkey, Mary a cow. I pray that Jesus will forgive you for that. I pray they'll forgive you for that. Hey, got a great letter from Brother Matt Tiemann. He puts out Tribulation Watch newsletter. And I read a Tribulation Watch newsletter every month. I get it in here. He said, Dear Tex, your amazing book, Codex Magica, has opened my eyes to a whole different world of unimaginable evil that I had no idea existed just a few years ago. It has also opened my eyes to the influence of Freemasonry in my own church, which I have now left. I have personally witnessed Masonic hand signs coming from men who claim to be holy men of God, but are just faking it. They thought they were communicating with the other Masons in the church. Little did they know that I had read your book. Well, he says, because of your book, I can see now how Freemasonry is influencing our culture for the worst. Duck Dynasty is a good example. Enclosed are a few pictures of some Duck Dynasty characters flashing Masonic hand signs, most of which can be found in your book. I personally believe the Synagogue of Satan entrenched in Hollywood is using these snakes to communicate with other lodge members around the nation. Wow. They could possibly be setting the stage to turn the masses against Christians, and nobody would suspect it. Maybe this is something you could look into. May God's blessings and protection be upon you and yours in these last days. He signed it all out for souls, Brother Matt Tiemann, Tribulation Watch newspaper. You know, I looked at I really don't know much about the members of the cast of Duck Dynasty. You know, I saw it with a little bit of humor, I guess, and thought maybe they were doing some good. They do pray at the end of each segment. They have, you know, they sit around the table and pray before they eat. Maybe they're doing some good, I thought. But I saw in all these pictures from major magazines, they're all giving Masonic hand signs. Now, maybe they're just ignorant. I do give it to some people. Some people are just ignorant. They think that the Masons are a good group. Some even think they're serving God. But, you know, Jesus said they're going to kill us and think that they do God's service. Now, I'm not talking about Duck Dynasty, but I'm talking about those of the world. Well, we go on to Elon Musk. Who is Mr. Elon Musk? He's the guy who started the Tesla Motor Company. The Tesla Motor Company. Have you seen these Tesla cars? They're pretty nice. Now, they don't have a combustion engine like our regular cars. You plug them in, they have a battery, and you plug them in. They're nice, beautiful cars, look like sports cars. They do cost quite a bit of money. But they're electric cars. Electric cars. It seems to be the coming thing now. And Elon Musk is, boy, he's got a $1 billion company there. Doing pretty good with those Tesla automobiles. Now, Elon Musk must be pretty much a genius, pretty smart guy. He said something recently. You better heed, friends. He said this. He was supposed to be talking in his talk about his automobile, Tesla, and the future. But he switched subjects and he started talking about robots. Robots. Now, Elon Musk, the founder of Tesla, says that robots will prove to be very dangerous for our futures. And robots could be more dangerous than nuclear bombs. Now, if you've read my book, Robot Alchemy, you'll understand. Elon Musk says robots could be more dangerous than nuclear weapons. Hey, here's a guy who wrote to me something. This is Pastor Kimball wrote to me. I don't know where he heard about it. It's pretty good. He says, some have asked me what I'm going to be doing in retirement. This is entitled, by the way, Building Permit. Some have asked me what I'm going to be doing in retirement. Well, I applied for a building permit for a new house. It was going to be 100 feet tall, 400 feet wide, with 12 gun turrets at various heights, windows all over the place, and a very loud outside entertainment sound system that was going to entertain the whole neighborhood. It would have parking for 200 cars, and I was going to paint it green with pink trim. The city council, however, told me, forget it. It ain't going to happen. So I sent in the application again. But this time, I didn't call it a house. I called it a mosque. The city council approved it immediately. Oh, man. Well, pretty interesting, isn't it? Well, let's see what else we got here. Israel creates no man's land in Gaza. Shrunk the strip by 40%. Yeah, they're taking more and more land away from those poor people. No doubt about it. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund. Managing Director Christine Lagarde. She says we need higher energy taxes to fight climate change. This woman and Obama and all of them, they still believe in climate change. They still believe in global warming. It's getting cooler for 17 straight years. It's been cooler, but they want money from you. They want higher energy taxes. Amazing, isn't it? Hey, did you see Sean Hannity in Israel as they were killing all those innocent women and children there with all their tanks and everything? He interviewed two drivers of tanks, two Israeli Defense Force people. Both of them were Americans, American Jews who went over there to fight on the side of the Israelis. Shame on you. Shame on you, Hannity. And shame on you, American Jews. They love Israel more than they love their own country. They love Israel more than they love their own country. They went over there, they're Americans fighting for Israel in Israeli uniforms. They should be prosecuted by the United States for that atrocity. August the 6th was the date. This has been Tex Mars. Friends, I've run out of secrets today. I've got a lot more, but don't have much time. Been great being with you today. Remember now, 2 weeks from now, I'm going to talk about terror, murder, and all those horrible things. We're going to get down to the bottom of it. 2 weeks from today. But next week, I have a very interesting program about Obama and immigration. That's next week. But 2 weeks, terror, murder, torture, and rape in your name and my name. This has been Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.